We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, God's Gracious Provision, from the series Exodus, and shows you how to navigate life's bitter waters and find God's gracious provision in every season. Now, here's today's program.
As you know, for every spiritual and emotional high, there is an equal spiritual and emotional low. Sometimes we see this when we follow our sports teams and they win a great game they weren't expected to win. And you think, well, from now on, they're just going to soar. And then they get beat by an opponent that they should never have even been beat by. Sometimes we experience it spiritually. When we experience God work in marvelous, magnificent, miraculous ways, only a short time later, we can go through a sense of despair or discouragement, wondering, well, where's God right now? When I was a youth pastor, I used to tell my kids every time we came home from a camp, like a weekend camp or a week-long camp, I would tell them, please be on guard for the next 24 hours. Because all of them come back and they're totally high and they're all in with Jesus and they're emotionally and spiritually pumped up. And I would tell them, you will be tempted like you've never been tempted before in the next 24 hours to throw you off kilter. Don't be surprised when that happens. Because for every spiritual and emotional high, there's an equal spiritual and emotional low. As we've been studying the book of Exodus, where we just came out of was one of the most miraculous stories of the entire Bible. God delivered the entire nation of Israel by parting the Red Sea and then bringing the waters over Pharaoh and his troops, killing them all. Not one was left, and yet all of Israel survived. It was so good that they broke out into song. The men started leading worship with Moses and the sons of Israel. All the women then gathered, they had tambourines. It was a party. I mean, if there was any song that would have been sung that day, it would have been like, celebrate good times, come on. I mean, that was what was going on. That's the attitude of all Israel. And yet, they didn't stay right there. Life continued to happen. And while God is gracious in pouring out provision, and God is so good that he will do good things even for those who don't follow him, oftentimes we want to know, okay, how can I continue to trust God to provide for me when I'm not feeling it? How can I continue to trust God to provide for me even in times of the mundane? Some Christians ask this question, how come it is I see in all these other people that God's doing great things for them and God's moving on their lives? How come he doesn't move in my life that way? If you've ever asked those questions, God has a word for you today. God wants you to know how you can experience his gracious provision daily and moving forward with him. So I want to invite you to open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 22 today, finish that chapter and work our way through chapter 15, taking a look at God's gracious provision and how we can expect God's gracious provision in our lives. We're in Exodus 15, starting in verse 22. This is right after that they got out of the water and they sang songs to the Lord. Notice what it says. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. So how long has it been since their celebration? 3 days. Is 3 days a long time or a short time? It really depends, right? I mean, it's a short time that when you've seen God move in such a miraculous way, and it's only been 3 days, you would think that's a pretty short time to lose faith. And yet, biologists tell us we can't go more than 3 days without water. How long have they been without water? For 3 days. You ever gone 3 days without water? That's a long time to go without water. So in some ways, it's a short time from seeing God's goodness, but it's a long time for their needs being provided for. Have you ever been in a season like that? Where you know God's good and you know he's great and you've seen him work greatly, but in your own life personally, you've got a great need. That's what's going on right here. And it says in verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. Marah in the Hebrew means bitter. If you study the book of Ruth, you'll remember Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, call me Marah, because she had lost her husband. She was bitter on the inside. And notice what happens. This is the first of about six times you're going to see this in the text today. Verse 24. So the people grumbled at Moses saying, what shall we drink? What shall we drink? Now, what's grumbling? Grumbling is a sign of spiritual immaturity in the life of a believer. That's what grumbling is. Can Christians grumble? That's not rhetorical. Can Christians grumble? Yes, they can. We found ourselves grumbling from time to time. Grumbling is a spiritual sign of immaturity. It's a lack of belief that the God of abundance can provide what you need when you need it. And so we grumble or we complain or we blame other people. That's just a sign of spiritual immaturity. Now, they've had this all along. Even though they've been delivered, even though they've experienced the salvation of the Lord, even though they've been singing praises, now it's been 3 days and what are they doing? They're grumbling. That's what they're doing. And notice what happens. Then he cried out to the Lord, Moses did. And the Lord showed him a tree and he threw it into the waters and the waters became sweet. There he made them a statute and regulation and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. And they came to Elim where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Now, here's the first point. If you want to experience God's gracious provision in your life, you must earnestly seek to obey God's voice. If you want to expect God's gracious provision, then you must earnestly seek to obey God's voice. Earnestly seeking to obey his voice is not simply hearing his voice. It's not simply listening to his voice. It's not simply, I want to hear what God has to say. It's I'm earnestly seeking him or diligently seeking him in a way that I know what he wants so that I'll do what he's actually showing me. Some of you don't hear the Lord speak directly to you because you have no desire to do whatever God would show you to do. Some of us that would say, I've heard God speaks today. I want to hear God speak to me, but you have no desire to do what the Lord shows you. It may be the reason why you don't hear the Lord speak. How many of you know the Lord speaks today? He speaks through his living and active word every time that it's open. That is the Lord speaking. When the word of God is faithfully and accurately proclaimed, that's you hearing the Lord speaking. Sometimes when we have people visiting Brave who have been invited by friends, some people have been known to come up to me afterwards and say, did he tell you what I was going through? Because everything you said was speaking right to me. Now, that's the word of the Lord. That's the way that he speaks through his word. And the more acquainted you are with his word and the more acquainted you are with his voice, the more then the Lord is able to speak subjectively about, should I take this job or that job? Should I date this person or that person? Should I get married now or not? Those kind of subjective things, because then it aligns with the word of God that you know. And so if you're going to see God's gracious provision in your life on an ongoing basis, you need to earnestly seek to obey his voice. Now, here they had these bitter waters, right? And what's God tell them to do? God says, well, here's the deal. What you need to do, as they grumbled against Moses, Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Now, if you're like me and you read the scripture, you're like, okay, what kind of tree was that? Like, what kind of tree do you throw in bitter waters and make the water sweet? We could profit off that if we could figure out what tree it was. See, it's not about what the tree was. It's about that they were obedient to what God told them to do. Any old tree would have done. God said, throw that tree in the water. They threw that tree in the water and the bitter waters became sweet. See what I'm saying? They earnestly sought the voice of the Lord and they did what he said. Sometimes we earnestly seek the voice of the Lord, but we think, nah, that's not gonna work. Throwing a tree in bitter water, what's that gonna do? Earnestly seek his voice to do what he says. Hebrews 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please him because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, when it comes to Bible study, I've been in enough small groups over the years that people will say things like this. Hey, could you pray for me this week? I need to spend more time in the word. Can you pray for me this week? I need to pray a little more. And I understand that. But if the Bible is only a book to be read and studied, you're always going to feel that way. But you see, the Bible's not a book just to be read and studied. It's a book to be believed and obeyed. And if this is really your life, if Jesus is really your life, then you're not only reading the Bible just for knowledge, you're reading the Bible because when you're reading it, you're saying, God, what are you speaking to me today? God, what are you showing me in your word? God, what do I need to apply?
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Gracious Provision, from the series Exodus, showing you how to navigate life's bitter waters and find God's gracious provision in every season. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
You're reading the Bible because when you're reading it, you're saying, God, what are you speaking to me today? God, what are you showing me in your word? God, what do I need to apply? And if you're young in the faith, here's what I would tell you. Anywhere that you open it up and you begin to ask that question of the Lord, this living and active document called the Word of God will speak to you about whatever God wants you to know, regardless of where you are in the text. I've had seasons in my life, like I've told you, when the Lord is showing me something and I can't get away from it, where no matter where I open in the scriptures, I see God telling me the exact same thing. And it's frustrating, isn't it? Because sometimes we don't want to do that little thing that God wants us to do. We're waiting on a bigger thing that God has. But if you're earnestly seeking him for the purpose of obeying what he says, that's how you grow in your faith. And let me tell you this, if you're younger in your faith or you're saying, I'm a little more mature in my faith and now I'm really ready to grow, I really want to accelerate my growth with Christ, here's what I would say. One step of obedience is greater than 5 years of study. One step of obedience. You can be 10 years old, read the word of God, put it into practice, and you will grow more spiritually than people who study the Bible but don't do anything with it. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I mean, one of the ways that I grow as a preacher is not just studying the word, but applying the word, obeying the word. I found that the longer I walk with God, the more things he wants to show me about ways in which I can grow, ways in which I can be transformed, all the ways in which I have not arrived yet, things in me that still have sinful condition and depth of depravity that need to be changed. And if I'm seeking him earnestly, saying, God, I'm coming after you today because there's things in my life I know you want to speak to me about, and I'm willing to do whatever you say, that's how you begin to grow. That's how you can experience God's gracious provision in your life. Now, our God is so good that he even provides for you when you're not walking in relationship with him, doesn't he? I mean, the fact that you're here this morning breathing oxygen, even if you haven't been obedient to the Lord, he still provides oxygen. The Bible says he causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Like, God doesn't just send rain clouds over those who are Christians, like your crops get nourished, but non-Christians, they don't. God's so gracious, he gives grace and common grace to all people. If your heart's still beating, whether you're a Christian or not, that's God's common grace. God is good no matter what. But what we're talking about here today, as they begin their journey in the wilderness, now they've been delivered from their enemy. Now they're ready to start walking with the Lord. What's the first thing he's telling them to do? Earnestly seek my face and do what I show you to do. That's why he gives them that statute. That's why he tells them in verse 26, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Now, isn't that interesting? What are they praying for? What are they crying out about? What are they complaining about? They don't have what? Water. It's an important need. We don't last without water. It's something they can cry out for. It's okay to cry out for their needs. They're crying out for water, but what's God telling them? I'm willing to give you so much more than water. I won't put the diseases on you that I put on Egypt. I'm your healer. I want you to know I'm not just your provider. I'm not just your God that wants to give you stuff so you can keep living your life. I'm so much bigger than that. You're asking for water, I'll give you water, but I can do more than that. I can heal you and never put on you the diseases that Egypt had. Whatever you're asking for is probably not big enough for what you're asking for. A quote I've been listening to from my friend all week that he got from somebody else that I'm sharing with you is, how can we ask for such small things from a God who can do all things? Isn't that true? They're crying out for water and God's like, not only will I give you water, I'll heal you from all your diseases. Wouldn't that be good too? And yet when we only are focused on ourselves and our own little needs that need to get met, we miss out on the abundance of our God. Because notice verse 27. God brought them to a spring after he had made the water sweet. Then he's like, that's not enough. They came to Elim where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Here they're crying out to the Lord, just give us water. The Lord's like, I'll not only give you water, I'll give you healing. And oh, by the way, I'll give you enough to drink now, but where I'm taking you, there's 12 streams of water and there's 70 date palms and you can hang out. Now, where are they? They're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. They're in a place where you're not going to see those things. What does it mean? When you go through a season in the wilderness where it doesn't seem like God can provide, our God can provide at all times in all ways. Because our God's the God that created the universe out of nothing. Amen? He's your provision. And he's a God of abundance. And the enemy will always lie to you when you're leaving your past life and you're beginning your new life with Christ and always tell you, now that you're here and you're on your own, God's not going to provide for you. And here's what I would tell you. Oh, yes, he will. Our God is a provider. Our God is a healer. And our God is so much more. And this is the same thing that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. What did he tell you? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, all the daily needs that you have, all the things that you need to have to survive, I'll add all those, but seek me first. Seek my kingdom first. Seek the bigger things first, and I'll add all these things. If you want to see God's gracious provision in your life, earnestly seek to obey his voice. Listen for his voice and obey his voice. Amen? Secondly is this. If you want to expect God's gracious provision in your life, then you must daily continue to follow his instructions. Key word being daily. Daily continue to follow his instructions. Notice chapter 16, the first verse. After they set out from Elim and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and the Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. So before it's been 3 days, now it's been a little over a month. So you think, man, now they got their act together. Now they know because God's provided for them, right? Look at verse 2, the second time we see it. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Are they done grumbling? No, sometimes Christians aren't done grumbling. I mean, we've seen God do miraculous things, and then people tell us that God will still provide, and so we stop grumbling, we see he provides, and then a month later, what are we doing? We're grumbling again. Do you know why? Because we're dynamic and our needs continue to change, and now we wonder, okay, God, you were good there, but where are you now? God, what have you done for me lately? That's exactly what Israel's saying. Verse 3, the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. Now watch what they say. When we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, before they were thirsty, what are they now? They're hungry. They're hangry. Have you heard that word? I mean, that's what they are. They're hangry. They're angry in their hunger, right? And what are they saying? They're reflecting on their past. Now, what was their past? What had been going on in their lives for not only the past month, but the past 430 years? What were they? They were slaves. They were beaten. They were miserable. And how are they remembering those days? Oh, the good old days. We sat by pots of meat until we were full. We ate bread till we couldn't have it anymore. Like, what do you remember that for? Isn't it just like our enemy? That when he brings us into a relationship with Christ and our old lives are done and we begin to walk away from us, that he tries to tug us back? Tries to show us how good those old days were when they were really no good at all. You know, we start walking with the Lord and maybe we break up with the person that we were dating because they weren't walking with the Lord. And we get out to here and all of a sudden it's like, man, remember those good old days when you were dating them and how awesome it was? It wasn't awesome, but he tries to get you to go back. Or how about those of you that struggle with drugs and alcohol before you got saved and the Lord miraculously redeemed you and you were so excited and so free and you take about 3 steps and you're like, yeah, but remember those good old days when you partied and you had all those friends? And there's always a pullback from the enemy to take you back to, quote, the good old days, which are really not all that good at all. Friends, as Christians, our best days are always ahead of us. They're always ahead of us because that's where Jesus goes. Jesus goes ahead of us. And one day when you meet him face to face, that will be the greatest day of your life. The enemy's always trying to take you back where God's always trying to take you forward in the kingdom of God. And if you're going to experience his ongoing gracious provision, then you must continue daily to follow his instructions. Now, notice what he says in the text. Notice this, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a, notice this word, a day's portion every day that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in it, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening, you will know that the Lord has brought you into the land of Egypt and In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? So does God hear your grumblings? Yeah, because oftentimes, you know what? We don't grumble towards God. We go to our friends and grumble about God. You say, well, I don't grumble. I'm just complaining about my situation. That's grumbling against God. That's saying that the God of the universe that's able to provide and the God of the universe that's sovereign in your situation isn't good enough for you right now. And so we grumble and we complain to other people. And we're all prone to that. And that's what's going on. So Moses said, here's how you're going to know that God is good. Here's how you're going to know he provides. Because every single morning you will see a dew that comes on the earth. And when you see it appear, it will be manna. And we're going to read about what's going on. And every day you're to take a day's worth of manna. It's going to be an omer. An omer is 2 quarts. And you're supposed to gather it how often? Daily. You're supposed to gather it every single day. What is that representative of? The Christian life is oh so daily, isn't it? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And yet so often we think we can just kind of spend time with God and then maybe once a week we can give him a little more. Once a month we can gather back together. Friends, the Christian life is lived daily. It means every day you need to take from the Lord what you need for that day. That's what he's saying. And by the way, because I'm your pastor and I can say whatever I want from this pulpit as long as it honors the Lord, I'm going to do that right now. Do you know what a day means? It means a day. It's the same word used in Genesis 1 when you wonder how many days did the Lord create the earth in? He created it in 6 days and he rested on the 7th day. It's a day. There was not one Israelite that would have heard this text and would say, oh my goodness, when God wants us to collect for a day, is that like 1 million years? Or is that like a day? I just don't know. Because God created the world in 6 literal days and rested on the 7th. Every Israelite knew it. I know it. God knows it because it's what the word teaches. That's free of charge. Amen? But you think about it. Because notice what Moses says in verse 8. Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but the Lord. He says this, every time you grumble, you're not grumbling against God's servants. You're grumbling against God. Every time you complain about your pastor, you're not complaining about your pastor. You're grumbling before the Lord. Every time you complain about your church, you're not grumbling about your church, you're grumbling before the Lord. That's why when Saul was saved, Jesus' first question to Saul was, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because whatever you do to one of the least of these, whatever you do to one of the ones that belong to Jesus, you do unto the Lord. Right? Grumbling is not a spiritual qualification for growth in the kingdom. Grumbling is a sign of spiritual immaturity. He said, here's how you're gonna know the Lord. You're gonna get meat every single night and you're gonna get bread every single morning. And here's how you're gonna know it's the Lord, because we're in the middle of nowhere and our God can provide. God can provide out of nothing. Whatever circumstance you're going through and you say, I see no way out. I don't know how the Lord could. You don't see a way, but God does. You may not know the way, but God can make a way for you to get out of whatever you're in, amen? And it's interesting because he tells them to collect it daily, but then on the 6th day, they're to collect twice as much. And we'll see why, because the 7th day is going to be a holy day, a Sabbath that is set aside for the Lord. It's really interesting in the word, this is the day the Lord has made. Even in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says what? Give us this day our daily bread. Why not this week? Why not give us this month? Why not give us this year? Because if we prayed that way, we would have an earthly storehouse rather than a daily dependence. God has everything you need. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. Ephesians 1 says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have everything you need to accomplish everything God wants with your life that he put you on the earth to do. You have it all. But where is it? He keeps it in heaven because he put it in earthly storehouses. You wouldn't seek him. You would just complain that you didn't have the things in the storehouse you need.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Gracious Provision, from the series Exodus, showing you how to navigate life's bitter waters and find God's gracious provision in every season. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.